Our scripture this morning is such a long one. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, in our lives, there's many things that cause us great sadness, great sorrow. Death of a loved one. Loss through divorce. Loss of a job. A friendship, loss of a pet. When those tragedies hit us, it's painful. It's very painful. And many of us, unfortunately, have experienced that pain. And to feel sad when we suffer a loss, it's a natural thing. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you just got to get over it. No. Work through your sadness. Work through your grief and your pain. Even if it is your cat. Or your dog. Or your pet goldfish. Whatever you love the most. And you lose that thing. That person. That pet. It causes us pain. That pain is a result of something being torn from our lives. Something that we used to have. I could never empathize with people that have lost their parents until now. It's about getting close to about a year now that Mom passed. And I came to the realization, wow, both my parents are gone. All my grandparents are gone. My father-in-law passed. My mother-in-law is 86. So we hold on to her. My wife and I bother her all the time. So when we read the Beatitudes and we see this whole thing where Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, it kind of makes you scratch your head, doesn't it? How can we be blessed while we're in mourning? Well, most people think that blessed means happy, right? Have you heard that teaching, blessed means happy? And yeah, it does, but not in this instant, not completely at least. The Greek word for blessed is, and sorry if I butcher this, makarios. And it differs from the word happy. Because happy means it is in that person who has good luck. But this Greek word is someone who has the kingdom of God in their hearts, in their lives. The one who is in the world, yet independent of the world. His or her satisfaction comes from God and not from favorable circumstances. So you see that we can be blessed in mourning because we will be comforted. We learn that the source of our joy does not come from our circumstances on earth. The source of our joy comes from God Himself. And it is away from our circumstances. Now, the Message version of the Bible, I like to read this from time to time, it says this: you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Did you hear that? You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. It's when we are in those times of in the muck and the mire of the world, the hard times, the times that we just, it seems like it's crashing down. And I think when we are grieving, that is the heaviest time. That we look up to God and we embrace Him and Him alone. You remember the song, the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I don't know if Paul has ever told you the backstory of that, but the writer, Horatio, was a businessman in Chicago, lost all of his buildings due to the Great Chicago Fire. About a year after that, the schools weren't open yet, so he sent his daughters, four of them, and his wife to England so they could go to school in England. During that trip, there was a shipwreck. They found his wife hanging on to a piece of the wreckage. But all of his daughters were gone. His wife sends a cable back and says, all lost save one. So Horatio decides he's going to travel to England to meet with his wife. And as the story goes, at the spot of the shipwreck, the captain comes down to his cabin and wakes him up and says, this is the area. And then those famous words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. See, Horatio knew where he could find comfort, and it was from God. I mean, think about the grieving that he was going through. Not only from the loss of his daughters, but also the fact that all the other tragedies had happened within a year. Think of the story of Job. We all know Job, right? Job had everything. He was the richest, the most blessed man on the planet. And yet God allowed Satan to take everything away. Everything. But Job, as he's mourning, and as his wife says, you know, just go ahead and curse God and die. He didn't do that, did he? And at the end, God blessed him with more than what he had before. So, it's natural that we mourn those that we lost, the things we lose in life. But what else do we mourn? What else do we grieve? Have you ever seen the SPCA commercials or the Feed the Children commercials? And they show these, well, the SPCA commercials show these pitiful little dogs and cats, and they just tear at your heartstrings, and how cruelly they are treated. You know, you have those little puppies with those chains that are, you know, it seems like the chains are this big compared to what the puppy is, and they look so sad. And they reach for your heart. And you actually grieve. It's a form of grieving. You feel sadness because this is going on. You feel sad because there are children around the world and in this nation that are starving. You know, they put those images on the TV and they play that really sad music so that you will donate to them. Do we mourn that? Do we mourn the injustices that are in this world, in this nation? Do we mourn the way people are treated? Do we mourn the condition of our society? Does it sadden us to think about the things that are going on in our nation and in our world today? How did we get to this point? When did this whole idea of being mean to each other become natural? It's the norm, not kindness. Kindness is a revolutionary thought now. One day I was driving out on Antietam Street. This was several years ago, before they put the big boulders underneath that one train overpass. Right there at Antietam and Route 11. I was driving underneath there, and they put those boulders there because they had homeless camping underneath there. They were getting protection from the weather. And as I was driving by, I just happened to look over. And this image, this woman, that this lady that was there had the saddest eyes and the roughest look. Life had beat her down. Mourn, we mourn that people have to live in such a way. When we think about the condition of our politicians and our government, do we mourn that? The problems of drugs, sex trafficking, which is a real problem even in this area, do we mourn that? Are we saddened by these things? Do we actually mourn? Do we actually feel sad for our nation? You know, Jesus felt sad for the nation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you hear the heart of Jesus? How he wanted to gather Jerusalem, how he wanted to gather Israel together and protect them, but their house, their temple was empty. And you might say, well, they had people worshiping then. Well, yeah. But just because we go to church, just because we go to synagogue, doesn't make us a believer. There are many quote-unquote Christians, people that go to church every Sunday, that don't know Christ as their Savior, that don't have that relationship with Him. It's no different than them going to a social club, unfortunately. God has not impacted their lives. It's something they do, something they've done since they were little. They don't lament their condition. They don't lament their country's condition. Is there times that we lament that? Is there times that we pour our hearts towards our society's condition? Do we mourn and grieve? Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, lamented the things that had happened to Israel. In chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, for my soul is downcast within me. See, he was thinking about the time when Israel was carried off into captivity. All the best of the best, was carried away. The temple, the city, was laid in ruins. This is what he's remembering. Our hearts need to be open to the things of God. And we need to see our world the way He does. not only for the world, but we also need to grieve with others while they are in the midst of pain and sorrow. Does anybody know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. John 11:35. Do you know why Jesus wept? Jesus did not weep for Lazarus because he knew what he was going to do. He knew what his heavenly Father was going to do. He wept for those that were mourning around him and their pain and their sorrow because they have not yet seen the power of God. So he felt sorrow for them. As a pastor, I cannot count how many times I've had to sit with a family and how many different situations. Did I have all the words to say? No. But my presence was there. How do you comfort someone who's lost a 5-year-old grandchild? How do you comfort someone or community that has lost a father, a mother, and an adult son through murder, suicide? How do you stand and bring those words of comfort? And the only comfort that we can bring them is our presence. Being there. There was a Facebook meme I just saw this week, and it was Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. And Piglet asked Winnie the Pooh, he says, "How are you doing, how are you doing, Winnie the Pooh?" And he says, "I'm not having a very good day." And Piglet says, "Do you want to talk about it?" And Pooh says, "No, I'm not having a very good day." So Pooh sits down on a log. And Piglet sits down beside him. And Pooh says, "Well, why are you here? I told you I didn't want to talk." He says, "I just thought I would sit with you while you're having your very bad day." See, it's not the words we say. It's the presence. Us being there. We can't change the circumstances. We can grieve with those who grieve. We can cry with them. Or we can just be that presence, that godly presence. Because our comfort, the comfort that we receive in grief, is not from us. It's not from other people. We receive comfort from God because in 2 Corinthians verses 1-3, Chapter 1, verse 3, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." God is the source of our comfort, even in the most tragic circumstances in our life. So we help others during their grief. We grieve the condition of our society. The next question that I have is, do we mourn our sin? Do we feel sad or grieve about the sin that is in our lives? There's a story that Jesus tells about a tax collector and a Pharisee. And this tax collector and Pharisee are in the temple at the same time, praying. The Pharisee's up front. And he's beating on his chest. He's there saying, "Lord, you know, I'm glad that I'm not a sinner like that tax collector." Very prideful. But in Luke 18, verse 13, here's the tax collector's view. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't even want to approach the front. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you hear his heart? It's not, I'm not as bad as that person. No, he wasn't saying that like the Pharisee said. He's saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. He recognized his condition. He recognized the sin in his life and the fact that it separated him from God. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 51. And this psalm is a result of the prophet Nathan coming to David and confronting him about his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And David's response is this, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. In verse 9, don't keep looking at my sins, remove the stain of my guilt. Do you hear David mourning the sin that he committed? The sins that he committed. It brought him to a place where he was begging God to not look at him, not look at the sins in his life. In verses 12 to 14, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to the rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. You see, the results of mourning our sins makes us closer to God. It brings back that right relationship. It creates in us that pure heart. But do we mourn our sin? We can't get to the place that we're closest to God if we don't realize how bad our sin is. There's too many times we make jokes about our sin. And I'm guilty that... excuse me. I'm guilty of that myself. There's many a times I have stood in front of people and said, yeah, my sin goes before me. The sin of overeating, the sin of gluttony. And yeah, it gets a chuckle. But because of my sin, I have to give myself a shot every day, prick my finger a couple times a day, take a handful of pills in the morning, take a handful of pills at night. Because of my sin, I have this nice big scar in my chest. But yet that is still a sin that I struggle with. When we go to God, say, Father, I have sinned against you. Seeking out that forgiveness, we find the comfort we need. When we go to God in the middle of our grief, seeking comfort, He is there. You see, we are blessed. We have joy when we mourn. If we allow that sadness, if we allow that mourning to lead us to God. Are you taking your grief? Are you taking the mourning that you have in your life, the mourning for your society, the mourning for someone you've lost, the mourning for your sin, and allowing it to draw you closer to God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for the comfort that you give us. Father, I pray that as we mourn, as we grieve the condition of our lives, of our society, of our loss, that we won't stay there in that sadness, but we will come to you, that we will seek that comfort from you and you alone, because that is the source of all of our comfort. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.